Blog Talk Radio.
Doing. Sorry for the long absence. Not to go into too much detail, but Yael and I simultaneously ended up as part of the sandwich generation, meaning people who are taking care of their parents and their children at the same time. Both our parents got very sick, like within a few days of each other. And we had to put family first. Right now, I don't even know how I'm doing this show. I am trying to get home. I got a car full of groceries. I got to do dinner. It's just crazy. So you might hear the oven slamming while I cook dinner for my family and my mom. Yael and I really contemplated about doing the show. We both felt that we've been away for so long, but at the same time, we still need to take care of home. He flew halfway across the country, and he's currently at an undisclosed location, someplace in the middle of the U.S. of A. I'm still where I'm always at. But with it being election night, we just felt like there was no way we couldn't do the show. And so I started the show. I agreed to do the show thinking, oh, I got this. I can work and go to the grocery store and run home and start dinner and sit down and watch the election. And, you know, Yael was like, yeah, I can step away for a minute and call in, and we got this.
No.
No, we don't. He has been unable to find the time for himself, and I got held up at work, and so here it is. I don't really want to go too much into my mother's business other to say that she is very, very ill. And it's been very difficult. It's the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life. I have basically uprooted my family, and we're living with my mother while she's recuperating and slowly getting back on her feet. And we are living day to day. I never know from one day to the next what I'm in store for. I mean, the constant is that I will be taking care of my mom, I will be going to work, and I will be juggling her household and mine. running two households and working two jobs, because I am running her business while I'm actually doing my job and taking care of her while she's convalescing. And I'm getting about four, I've been living off about 4 hours of sleep for just over 5 weeks. 4 hours a night, that is. It's amazing how you just go into autopilot. My mom sent me a text from the emergency room September 29th and told me, you know, her leg was hurting. I got stuck in traffic. By the time I got there, my mother was admitted. So, admitted and spent 9 or 10 days in the hospital. And I have been by her side every waking moment except for the hours I am in at work. And thank God for my village, because my friends have stepped up to the plate in ways that you could never imagine friends would step up to the plate. I have a friend who was at the hospital every day to give me a break, even going as far as to bathe my mother. I would never ask a friend to bathe my mother, but I didn't have to ask. They sit with her during the day, so she's not by herself. Their husbands have come over, both the besties, their husbands have come over, and we've installed stuff and remodeled stuff to make things easier for my mother. Doctor's appointments every day, literally every day. My mom is at the doctor's, and my friends have stepped up to the plate, and they've been handling that for me. I could not have done it, or I could not be doing it without them. That said, you know, at the end of the day, it's my mom. So I'm chiefly responsible. So with the exception of going to work during the day, I come home, drop everything on the floor, literally go in the kitchen, cook dinner, for her and my family, and help with homework and make sure my daughter, you know, gets her homework done and practices her cello and takes her shower and gets in bed, and kind of do the same thing with my mom. Her appetite's really small, but she has to have a specialized diet, so I make 2 dinners every night. And then I get her bathed and in the bed and tucked in and make sure she takes her medication, and she has some shots she has to take, so I make sure she gets, I give her her shots, and then I clean up and wash clothes and go back to work, and I usually hit the bed about midnight or 1 o'clock and then turn around and get up at 5 every morning. So to say that I'm stressed out is an understatement of several orders of magnitude. And you know, Yale is in the same situation. He's the primary caregiver for his grandmother, and his father has taken ill, so he is taking on the same responsibilities that I'm taking on, and we're managing to do it, but we don't know how. And unfortunately, the show has suffered because of it, but I am sure that everybody understands. So that is an explanation as to, you know, where we've been and how our lives are going.
And let's talk politics. I'm hoping that y'all can join in. I have managed to listen to MSNBC on the way home, so I know what's going on in Kentucky. Damn it. You know, I have Tahoe. But you know, when Alison Lundgren lost the election, when she waffled about who she voted for, I was screaming at my television. Why? what was the point of denying it, or not so much denying it, not owning up to it? You are a Democrat. He's leader of the Democratic Party. Of course you voted for Obama. But to say, you know, oh, my vote is private, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, it put her in a position of having to defend her. It put her in a position of having to defend stuff that she shouldn't have had to defend. All she had to do was say, I'm a Democrat. She's with a Democrat Party. Of course I voted with her, for him. I don't always agree with his policies. In fact, these are the policies of his that I do not agree with. And these are my positions on those policies. And this is how I would have voted had I been in the Senate at the time. People appreciate the honesty. They may not like what they hear, but they appreciate that they've heard it. But they, oh, I'm not going to answer the crap. That's why she's not in the Senate right now. So she had this locked up. She had it locked up. Because McConnell was proven to be as oily and sneaky as we know him to be. I mean, this weekend, his campaign. But on behalf of his campaign, a mail was sent out saying that Alison and Green you would be creating a voter fraud if you voted for her. Or some such nonsense. Now, had she been ahead in the polls, she would have been further ahead in the polls. So, you know, he didn't win the election. She lost her election because she had it wrapped up. Right now, they have called West Virginia for the Republican. I can't remember her name. Caputo, I think is what her name is. I can't even analyze that right now. I can't analyze half of those states over there because I don't even understand where they're coming from. They're calling the race, the Ohio gubernatorial race for John Kasich. That's just shenanigans right there. There's no reason why he should be given everything that he's done. That's just proof to me that the black turnout was low in Ohio. I don't have any proof of that. But, I mean,
he may go down history as one of their worst governors ever. You know, we're still looking for results from Iowa and Kansas, Georgia. They are saying that it's too close to call between them and Purdue and Georgia, and the black vote has not been counted significantly enough, but they are supposing that the areas that, based on exit polling, the areas that are high with black population have pulled 93 to 6% in favor of no. However, the exits for white folks are pulling 60 to 27% in favor of Purdue. So it comes down to numbers. If enough black people got out and voted in Georgia, then they want to walk away with it. But it's going to be tight. Real tight. I think Colorado is going to go to Republican because Lula has run a crappy campaign. I am sadly anticipating that the Democrats are going to lose the majority by the end of the evening. There's hope if none wins. There's hope if Roberts over in Kansas loses. But it's not looking good. And what bothers me the most about it is I haven't really had the time to study and research the congressional races. But it is a very good possibility at the end of the night the Republicans will call the House and the Senate. And you guys think there's been gridlock before? We've seen gridlock.
not only have we not seen gridlock, I am prepared for the next 2 years to be votes for lawsuits and impeachment every single week. Because that's their agenda. I mean, if you've been listening to the right-wing radio over the past couple days, they've been putting forth that notion. Let's get the majority, let's win the House, let's win the Senate, got articles of impeachment. Why? And I mean, on the one hand, they'll end up shooting themselves in the foot, and we will definitely wrap up 2015, when they pull this mess and halt this country, which we still need, infrastructure packages passed, and job packages passed. Maybe people will remember that in 2015 and vote for another Democrat. I don't know. I think that it was a strategical error on the part of the Democrats that were running and DCCC, because Bill Cox spent so much time running away from Obama when they should have been saying, oh, under Obama, the NASDAQ is at a record high. Record high. Unemployment is in the 60s. More people than ever have health care. There were so many accomplishments to trump it. And instead, they let the Republicans kowtow them into acting like he didn't even exist. I mean, seriously? My wishes for tonight, and wishful thinking, I would love for Daryl Issa to get voted out, but that's not going to happen. I'm very familiar with the county he represents. And when I was growing up, that county was probably 80% white. And not only 80% white, 80% conservative and white. The demographics have changed slightly, but I bet Dallas Jonas that the majority of the people in his district approve of the stuff that he's been doing. All the serious size crap with Eric Holder and everything he does. And just Grimes, I believe she's giving a concession speech right now. Which I'm torn with. I mean, the polls just closed an hour ago. I'd wait till
midnight. Personally, we don't know for sure. She may move by less than a percentage point. Wait it out.
I almost need Xanax. I'm so depressed about this. But I saw it coming. I mean, the writing was on the wall. I shouldn't be surprised. I just had hope. Especially with all the personal crises I've been dealing with for the past 5 weeks. I hope that maybe there will be a silver lining. Because people understand that Mitch McConnell is the minority leader. If Republicans get the majority, he will take the place of Harry Reid, and he will be the leader of the majority. No bueno. No bueno. He's going to watch. Mark my words. He's just going to have them. They're going to keep the simple majority rule.
And all they're going to do is try to impeach Obama or sue him. They're not going to let any bills come before that actually might move this country forward. And God forbid, and even though this is most likely the case, God forbid, we meet up with Boehner as the Speaker of the House still. Do you guys understand the implications of the two of those numbnuts running our government? Oh my God. We can forget about any progressive bills coming to the floor. All we can do is watch them try and overturn Obamacare. They will continue with their war on women, outlawing abortions, to be ridiculous. Nothing is going to get done. Nothing.
I mean, I'm just out loud for words.
Yeah.
Make me laugh. I have to get on here about that intro.
So I believe another poll is closed. We'll see. I just don't know. I just don't know what way to go. I'm just really dreading a Republican-controlled House and Senate. I mean, I just wanted, you know, wanted him to be able to get some stuff passed. I wanted this country to be able to move forward. I wanted the House to concentrate on infrastructure and jobs and safety. You know, funding the CDC a little better, doing some funding for policing, be it, you know, more money for police officers or some innovative community officers. I wanted them to stop. Well, you know, at a state level. At a state level, you know, if we pick up some Democrats, maybe we'll stop opposing all the abortion clinics. Or on the congressional side, I wanted them to stop funding things just because a woman has the right to choose to, under her health care plan. I wanted gun control. Here in Washington, we've had several mass shootings. I think mass is like, well, you know, I don't know if I can technically call them mass. I think that it has to be above a certain number. But just 2 weeks ago, a 14-year-old shot 5 people at a table, including his 2 cousins, and then killed himself. 3 of the 5 have died. The girls that he shot died. His 2 cousins are still in the hospital, and he shot himself. You know, I mean, his case is an outlier because, you know, I don't know where he got the gun. I suppose he stole it from his family. So his case is an outlier. But nonetheless, we still have a lot of violence being visited upon our children. We know that Chicago is out of control. I mean, all I really wanted was for the children to feel safe going to school, you know, and that part of that is not allowing people to buy 700 bullets over the internet. Or to walk inside of a gun show and walk out with paramilitary equipment. And if you listen to the show, you know that Yale and I are on the same page, but kind of not. I mean, he does believe in gun control, but he's also a gun owner. And I believe in gun control, and I'm not a gun owner. So he's coming from it from that perspective. You know, he wants people to have the freedom to own their guns, but, you know, to have safety involved. And I don't necessarily want to take guns from people, but I feel like unless you're in the theater of war, you don't need Uzis and submachine automatic weapons. You just don't. I don't care if, you know, shooting guns is your sport. It makes no damn sense, and there's no damn reason for it. You know, as a mother of daughters, several of them, I worry about the choices they will be allowed to make or not make when it comes to their own bodies. I don't want to live in a world in which my daughter has no decision making made available to her for her own life. You know, I mean,
I really wonder how close we are to dictating who can and cannot have children. I hate living in a world where a couple hundred old white men in Washington get to determine what I can and cannot do with my body. Or what my husband and I can or cannot do for our family. You know, as a married couple, we should be allowed to make decisions, family decisions, based upon what we know works and does not work for our family. I still have friends that are unemployed. And not because they're unemployable. Technical writers, database engineers, and, you know, I'm in the tech industry, so a lot of the people I know that are out of work are out of work in the tech industry. Immigration reform. No, John McCain, electrifying a fence. It's not immigration control. Rounding up people and carelessly throwing them back over the border is not an immigration policy. There is no earthly reason, in my opinion, we can't put something in place that will allow people to come out of shadows, hardworking people to come out of shadows. I also feel like the DREAM Act needs to be reformed. It makes no sense to me to hold children accountable for the sins of their parents. No sense whatsoever. And I know people have problems with so-called anchor babies, but I'm not even talking about children born in this country. I'm talking about children who live in this country, and this is the only country they know. And they have no choice in coming here or being brought here. I think if you can prove that you've been here for X amount of years and you have been a law-abiding citizen, that you have been a tax-paying citizen, even if you're using a stolen social security number, you have proven that you should be here. You're here working, you're not causing any issues, you're paying your taxes, and even if they're not paying federal taxes, they're paying state and local taxes every single time they buy something. So I want gun control and immigration reform, and I want them to stop attacking all these abortion clinics. So I want an infrastructure bill. You know how many people could be put out of work if they freaking fix the potholes in Seattle? Quite a bit. Or just fix these aging bridges across the country. The aging freeway systems. You know, I've always felt that they need to build triple-A lanes because I feel that those 18-wheelers are harsh on the roads. You know, we have an HOV lane. Why don't we have a truck lane? That might even move goods faster if the trucks are all in one lane. And they go at, you know, whatever the speed limit is. I don't see why we can't have a truck only lane. Maybe that's just me. going to no longer be a tax on people's voting rights. I mean, on the one hand, that is a state issue. So maybe getting some Democratic governors, you know, will put a squash on that. But on the other hand, you know, Congress can step up, extend some laws and reforms, just an amendment. There's all kinds of stuff that can be done. I think we just lost Arkansas too. Well, North Carolina too. North Carolina came to Arkansas. So now we've got a Republican coming out of Arkansas, so that's two seats the Republicans picked up. One they kept, two they picked up.
This is just...
This is just a
The hand we're dealt. You know, maybe at the end of the night, the Dems will have control of the House. Got it. That's more gridlock, but they might be able to get around some stuff.
For sure. Well, America, I've been chatting with y'all for 40 minutes. And when I started this conversation, I really felt like I can do the show and get the groceries in the house and take care of my mom and my daughter and my husband when he gets home and cook and still run the show. And I think, once again, I needed to pull back. I need to pull back. I am not Superwoman. I can't do it all, even though I do try. And I do a lot. I have to recognize when I'm putting too much on my plate. And I believe that trying to do all of this tonight and understandably by myself is just really too ambitious. I did a partial show so on election night, so I'm really proud of myself because I wanted us to have it. We have not missed an election since we started the show 2.5 years ago. So I feel good in that I at least attempted to do a show. I need to check in on my co-host with the most. See how things are going with him and his family tonight. There's some good news. The Democratic governor managed to hold on to her seat in New Hampshire. Yay! But anyway, it was important to me that we have some kind of a show on election since we haven't missed it since 2012. I ask that you send good thoughts and prayers to both
CL and I, as we struggle with our induction into the sandwich generation, pray to give me strength to make my mother whole, to give Yale strength and make his father whole. That you just lift us up in your thoughts and prayers. I ask that you be patient and understanding if this is the last show we do for another couple weeks, as we continue to manage and juggle our families and our responsibilities. I ask that you send me advice if you've been in a similar situation with ailing parents. And can I just really say right now, Medicare Part D sucks. It was demoralizing. You know, my mom has health insurance that she pays out of pocket, but it's subsidized. It's not, plus, on top of that, she has Medicare as her secondary insurance. And that's been fine because her prior insurance has been covering everything that we needed covered. But, you know, there's some medication that she has to take, and so I was looking at Medicare Part D to make sure that, you know, since she needs her primary insurance, that we have a good backup of her secondary insurance. And even, you know, these plans don't even cover the prescriptions by 35 or 80%. And the type of medication that my mom has to take, she usually costs $10,000 to $15,000 a month. And that covered at 80% is $3,000 to $6,000 a month that we would have to put out of pocket for it. Who has that kind of money? Who has that kind of money? I don't understand why the government can't figure that part out. You know, I understand the donut hole or whatever, but who has that kind of money? They need to get some plans in the program that cover prescription meds at a higher rate than 70-80%. I mean, because for the most part, you know, the biggest percentage of people on Medicare are children and old folks. Now, we know children don't have that kind of money, but old folks don't have that kind of money either, you know? And I shouldn't even call my mom an old folk because she's only 66, but, you know, she's eligible for Medicare. But, I mean, even retirees, you know, people who are old enough to qualify for Medicare most often are on a fixed income. I'm not on a fixed income. And I make a decent living, but even I can't afford $2,000, $3,000, $6,000 a month for medication.
So what are these people supposed to do? People who have the same ailment as my mom, are they supposed to just go home and die? This is why people go bankrupt. Because I was like, you know what, mommy, if we have to go on Medicare Part D, you got good credit, I got good credit, we just go take out some credit cards and just charge Mitch the credit cards and just pay it off as we can.
And that's not really a decision that I'm supposed to make, and that's not really a decision my mom is supposed to have to make. A mom shouldn't have to be deciding on whether she can afford to live or die. So what do we do? Do we sell the house? She has help for her house. Do we just take out a bunch of credit cards and build up hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt that she's going to struggle to pay off anyway? I mean, this is what we face. And I thought that, you know, we were supposed to be
you know, working out a deal with them. I don't see no damn deal.
And I looked at 72 plans. It's not that I just said, oh, one or two, these are crazy. No, I looked at the 72 plans that they said my mother was eligible for. And I typed in all the medication that she's taking because I wanted to make sure that they, you know, what they covered and what they didn't, because I didn't want to be in a situation where I was caught off guard to find out, oh, they don't cover this particular medication. And it was bullshit and shenanigans. I mean, when people say there's one catastrophic illness away from bankruptcy, I clearly understand that now. I never judge people, but I just didn't understand, I figured that their surgery, you know, they were having to pay for their surgery, and their office visits, and that's why they went bankrupt. No, it's the medicine. In case you missed it, $10,000 to $15,000 a month, not a year. And the other thing that I have learned from this is you have a family. It is incumbent upon you to get life insurance. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Nobody likes to face their mortality. So it's difficult. And I know, you know, people can't afford, you know, these high premiums, but get them while you're young. And get whole life, not term, because term they renegotiate. You know, if you get a 5-year term or a 10-year term, at the end of that term, if you're still alive, they'll, you know, give you another 5 or 10-year term, but they renegotiate the price. So get whole life. But the burden isn't taking care of your parent or your grandparent or whomever. That's not the burden. The burden is,
God forbid they should leave this world, and you are saddled with trying to figure out what to do with their debt. Should I sell the house? Mom doesn't want the house sold, but I don't have a choice. You know, do I deed her car over to my brother? I mean, oh, and that's another thing. We looked into getting her some help from the state. Just in case, you know, we needed it. And I was filling out the forms. And basically, she doesn't qualify for a lot of stuff because she had the forethought to, one, buy a house, two, open a savings account. They want an accounting of all your money, and you need to be basically just to before they help you out. Almost zero in your checking, zero in your savings. But why would we clean ourselves out like that? You know, I mean, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to hide our assets? I mean, that's illegal. But that's the position they're putting me in. The fact that she owns her house disqualifies her for numerous aid packages. A lot of it's trying to get her medication paid for, you know. Something's got to give. You know, these people we keep putting back in office got to get their heads out of their asses. We need to know exactly what our elders are faced with. You know, hypertension medication is like $300 a bottle. Diabetes medication is expensive. I mean, I looked at what my mom has to take and what ailments she's at risk of getting. I mean, she's at risk of getting diabetes, you know, not necessarily from her eating habits because she doesn't eat. She doesn't have a poor diet, but it is hereditary in our family.
You don't have to be obese and be drinking sodas day in, day out. So I looked into, okay, well, mom is 66. What if for some reason she becomes diabetic? You know, how am I going to pay for that medication? You know, I typed in the medication that she would need. It's anywhere from $40 a bottle to $300 a bottle, depending on your plan. High blood pressure runs in the family. Again, you know, mommy isn't sucking down fried food and whatnot, but it's hereditary, and she actually was born with a heart defect, so the percentage of her actually getting hypertension is higher than most people. I mean, you know, so I had to pick a list of the different, the likely high blood pressure medication they would be putting her on should she get it. That's awesome, great, too. I mean, I just don't understand. We are bleeding our seniors dry. And that's why so many of them, you know, are cutting their pills in half, not taking their full dosage. You shouldn't have to decide between rent and medication, or mortgage and medication, or food and medication. We live in America. And meanwhile, those jackasses up on the hill are trying to get Obamacare overturned 15 times a day. So that you get out of the pocket of the pharmaceuticals, or get the pharmaceuticals out of your pocket, however the phrase may be. Why not open up our borders? It is a fallacy that the medication in Canada is dangerous, any more dangerous than it's the same freaking medicine. Just because it hasn't gone through our FDA, it's the same freaking medicine that's manufactured by the same people. But the Canadian government doesn't put up with any of these shenanigans on drug prices. And me living up here, Canada is 3 hours away. Why can't I go into Canada and get my mom's medication? And save thousands, really thousands a month. You know, Benin Sabbath, there's no regulation in Canada, and the medication is being made in a Breaking Bad type scenario. Nobody is in a motorhome in rural Canada out there in the sticks, hooking up medication that seniors need. That's just ridiculous. Please get some pharmaceutical reform up in here. How much you want to bet that they try and pass some funky law to counteract the cost of oil, which is down to $76 a barrel, which means probably by the end of this week or next, my gas will be down to about $2.30 a gallon. Are you kidding me? Thank you. I filled up my tank today. It cost me $50. That's a lot for a lot of people, but it usually costs me about $75. So now I have that extra $25 for the week. I'm going to go splurge at the grocery store. Because that's how it works. That's what they don't get. Oh, minimum wage. I want a minimum wage increase. What better way to fix the economy? Gas prices are low. Salaries go up. People have, you know, $100, $200, $300 more in disposable income every month. Where do you think that money's going? I know what I would do with that kind of extra money. At first, I'm going to go grocery shop and stock up, treat my kid to a video game that she's been asking for but I couldn't afford, buy her the shoes she wants, not the shoes she needs. I'm pumping that money right back into the economy. And then I will start putting it in my savings account, but not before I go putting off getting a new washing machine and dryer.
pumping money into the economy. Who am I kidding? That money would go straight to my mother's medication.
But in a perfect world, that's what I would do. But they don't think about that, you know? When they put their heads up their asses and they've got tunnel vision, and they don't think about poor people. You know what I mean? Their mind, their classes. Their mind is that, the struggles of my mother and people like her. Well, the struggles of, you know, other people in my family who make $10 an hour if they're lucky. Or my friends who are unemployed and struggling. Anyway, we lost Arkansas. We didn't gain Kentucky. And we lost West Virginia. It's going to be a long night.
With the Democratic governor retaining her seat, that may mean that Jean Shaheen retains her seat.
Because I, you know what, I can't with Scott Brown. I cannot with Scott Brown. If I have to listen to him on the floor ever again, I'm not sure that there's a roof high enough. And speaking of can't, I can't even listen to McConnell. We need to keep the majority, because if I have to listen to McConnell's floor speeches again, there isn't a roof tall enough. His voice grates on my nerves. It is so ridiculous. All right, America. Sorry for the short show, but we have a show. Keeping my fingers crossed. Hopefully it won't be a total something. But we'll see.
Keep us in your prayers. We'll be back when we can. Love you.